The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In our series on disinformation, we're talking about how the social media bosses are degrading public discourse by their indifference to the truth in the news. We'll also talk about the flogging of supplements and vitamins online with inflated claims and equally inflated prices. We're joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, subtitled How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
The rattle there. These are your proprietary pills.
Proprietary, if I was selling them, which I am not. So the supplement market is genuinely massive. In the US alone, Americans spend about $50 billion a year on food supplements, typically vitamins. That has been the case since 1971. There's historical reasons for that. But despite the enthusiasm which the public adopts them, and by the way, it's a growing market year on year, the scientific evidence really isn't, for the most part, there. For the most part, the recommendation is, unless you're medically directed to take supplements, you probably don't need them.
Your diet provides you with all you need.
Absolutely, and some of which can be actually harmful. Vitamin A and E, for example, are associated with higher cancer risks and things like that. A lot of supplements do not contain what they claim to. They're regulated as foodstuffs, not as medicines. The labs that make them are not held to any particularly high standard, and you don't always know what you're getting. So the FDA have warned on this before in America, and also the US Preventative Health Task Force have basically told people, unless you're told by a doctor to take supplements,
so
you don't need
like
them.
So things like folic acid, important for people who are contemplating
pregnant
getting
and
pregnant.
Like that, absolutely.
Vitamin D for sunshine. Some people are told they need that.
Absolutely. Although our Irish standard is bizarrely high. For example, our threshold for what we consider deficiency is twice what it is in the UK and France. It's a bit of a weird thing there.
And then some people are told, for whatever reasons by their doctor, they might need an iron supplement.
Absolutely.
So there are things that you
so
might need.
Medical direction, absolutely, yeah. If you have a nutritional deficit or whatever, for another reason.
However, when you see the grifters online, and there are many.
This stuff is cheap. So even if you do need supplements, they tend to be cheap. If you go down to Boots or whatever, your multivitamins cost, you know, very, very small amounts of money. These are really cheap to make. We've known for years. However, in the last few years, there's been a massive rise of celebrities and influencers selling their own branded, blended, bespoke supplements for massive prices. To put this in context, both the Kardashians and people like Alex Jones and Joe Rogan are selling their own blends. Huge names, right? Alex Jones made $65 million a year selling supplements. So it's a big market.
And I mean, what's in them?
Well, that's the thing. They're made in the exact same laboratories and manufacturing places as the stuff you're buying in Boots for a fraction of the price. You're paying for the branding. So to investigate this a few weeks ago, I contacted one of the European manufacturers of these, you know, that does all the influencer, the micro-influencer packets. And
these are legitimate manufacturers.
They're legitimate manufacturers, yeah, because this is by the way, this is cheap. Whether you're buying vitamin D, which is about 88 cents a unit, for the smallest purchase, it gets cheaper as you buy in bigger bulk. The cheapest order about 88 cents per container for 30 pills. For collagen, it's like 122. Marine collagen, it's 180. And it gets cheaper as you buy more, right? So it's pretty cheap as a unit price. What you do is you get this, you have to have a minimum order, of course. You send them in your label. So you're holding the label there.
Yeah.
I sent them a label.
It's DRG. 30% vitamin D, 5,000 micro, whatever it is, with olive oil.
You need the olive oil, of course.
Yeah. And your brand you've called D-Lightful, L-I-T-E-F-U-L-D.
Delightful D.
And
if you look at the back of the packet, it basically tells you everything I've said there. You don't need supplements unless you're directed to take them. They're a massive market.
You actually say this on the back
of the packet.
Pack.
It literally tells people. I did a video on this on Instagram and YouTube where I actually sent the label to the manufacturers that basically said, they don't care what's on the label. I could have written, this brings your ancestors back from the dead. They will print it and put it on a packet because that's what they're doing for the customer. They know, or they claim, that there's vitamin D in that packet.
So anybody, I could set up my own vitamin
there
package.
There's several Irish celebrities and influencers doing it already.
There's a menu that I can pick from.
100%. It is just a menu. They sent me a massive spreadsheet and you picked out what you wanted in it and they put it in. The unit price is very, very cheap. But I've seen these retailing online for about €60 a packet. Now remember, the cost price is less than €1. You're looking at a markup of 4,500%. So even if you needed these vitamins or supplements, you shouldn't be buying them.
You shouldn't be buying from there. No, go to your local pharmacy.
It's cheap. We've known about this stuff for decades.
So you had to buy 500.
Oh, right, yeah. So this is a problem. I now have 500 boxes of this thing with my face on it, telling people that supplements are useless, basically. So they're going to be stocking, you know, stocking fillers for people are going to be sick. I've just given you one there. Yeah. I've just been giving them out. That's my business card from now on.
But
there you go.
These won't do me any harm if I did choose to take them.
No, and they should. By the way, these are made in the same labs, and I did a little bit of homework on this, and I won't name some of the big influencers. They're made in the same labs that some of them are getting them from. No one is doing the microbiological testing to check they actually contain what they do. A lot of the times, supplements don't because they're foodstuffs. They're not regulated as stringently. But unfortunately, if you see trusted people selling this, and we have a thing called parasocial relationships, we see influencers and celebrities, the Kardashians or whatever, and we kind of trust them. And it makes no sense, but social media really instills that this is trustworthy. So we're willing to shell out a lot more money. And this is, in some ways, base manipulation.
Okay, so beware. And if you need a supplement as medically directed,
talk to your doctor go to your pharmacist to get the cheap stuff.
Get the cheap stuff. Right. The other theme we have today is social media bosses and how basically they are degrading public discourse and the truth of public discourse because they put any old stuff on their platforms.
So, there's another layer to that as well. So so based on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, there's recently been a new panel, the Intergovernmental Panel on Information Environment, and they're looking at threats to our information environment, as the it says in the tin. The problem is we know that our information environment, and what we mean by that is the places we trade our information, have degraded massively. In the past 10 years in particular, we've become curators of our own media. We've gone into echo chambers. We've become very polarized. And this is a bunch of 412 academics who got together to discuss the reasons for this. And they're all experts in the area, similar to the IPCC. And what they have found is that the kind of threats that you consider, governmental pressure, certain politicians, that's all there. But what they really found as the number one threat is social media tycoons, who, as you say, often don't care what's on their platform. They care about engagement the same way tobacco companies care about selling you cigarettes. Yeah. But the other thing is they sometimes do care. For example, people like Elon Musk has a very vested interest in someone like Donald Trump being elected. And a lot of the Silicon Valley tech bros would have a very similar attitude. So the disproportionate amount of power these people have under a massive media empire, it makes the Murdochs look small if you look at the reach of social media.
Or the press barons of the pre-war period
Britain. The Randolph Hearsts, it's totally different. So now you have that on steroids. And you have individual figures who are more of a threat to our information environment, our societal cohesion, our understanding of one another and society than entire media outlets used to be.
Is it that they are genuinely agnostic to the truth, or is it money driven?
It can be both. So in some cases, you look at someone like Zuckerberg, they care about engagement. When Frances Hogan, the Facebook whistleblower, came out, she had found that Facebook's internal research showed how they could minimize misinformation and disinformation. But to do so, they would have to lose some revenue because these were the most engaged users. And they decided they had no interest in stopping that because they wanted the bottom dollar of the highly engaged clickers. It's like having a problem gambler and encouraging them to gamble more.
That's incredibly cynical.
It was the same with the tobacco industry. I really feel the analogy that we're going to look back in 20 years is we're going to look at social media companies the exact same way we look at the tobacco industry now. Yeah. Or the fossil fuel industry.
How do you fight against it? Because, I mean, now you can say that tobacco causes this and causes that and causes the other. Therefore, we can regulate it and eventually it may well be banned. Who knows?
And we've said this before in the show. I think regulation and very toothy regulation, very powerful regulation, robust stuff is going to be needed on a European level because individual countries, remember, social media companies have more revenue than some countries, right? They are massively powerful. And you have individual figures that have huge and disproportionate control. Our Elon Musks, our Mark Zuckerbergs. And remember, the other thing we have to remember is the political dimension. You have TikTok, which is always claims it has nothing to do with the Chinese government. Most definitely has a lot to do with the Chinese government. Yeah. And they want to amplify certain messages and not. So we have to, as individuals, become more media savvy and more critical and skeptical, but also it's going to take regulation as well because it's going to be several approaches we have to take on this.
Is there any case for a strong government, for example, in the United States, setting up its own competitive social media platform? And then you're talking about TASS News Agency or whatever.
You absolutely, know? You could get there. But also, you could argue with Donald Trump's Truth Social was an attempt to set up his own. The problem is you need independent regulation and plurality. And that can be very hard to
achieve.
And
of course, if Trump gets in, there will be
no plurality. Yeah, no. And that's the, like we always see the damage that does when he's not in, that he can still spread massive mistruths to huge audiences.
How far away are we from the younger participants becoming savvy about what they're looking at and not believing everything they see?
Well, we say the younger, but it turns out this is an intergenerational problem. It turns out the digital natives, so people, millennials like me and younger generation Zers, they grew up in the digital environment and they're still not very good at differentiating falsehoods. The same with the boomer generation, the older generations. It turns out that we are all uniquely bad at doing this. Well, we're not. If we're all unique, I mean, that's a contradiction. But we see the point is this affects everyone because the way the messages are crafted are designed to appeal to different things. They are, and you see on social media, it's emotive, it's engaging, it's anecdotal, it's vivid. These are psychological traits that all humans have.
Yeah, it's the anecdote is very insidious, isn't it?
Well, exactly. If I gave you a bunch of statistics right now about something, or I told you, oh, my cousin happened to him there last week, we are human. We are more likely to believe the latter thing than someone giving you the dry statistics.
I don't know whether you saw that video showing a guy breaking up what purported to be Dublin Airport, and it was an airport in Chile.
And all the dubs looked like, oh, I don't remember that security queue.
But it was passed around, you know. That was
absolutely. So, and we saw it recently with the attacks on immigrant centres. We've seen very similar kind of videos go around. Again, people emote first and they reflect later.
Yeah.
And that is a real danger. We need to train ourselves when we see something that makes us inflamed to go, you know what, I'm going to reserve judgment on that.
David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape. David, thank you very much for joining us. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.